నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం అజ్ఞానతిమిరా. హరే కృష్ణ. సో వీ వెల్కమ్ ఆల్ ద డివోటీస్ అండ్ అవర్ ఎస్టీమ్ గెస్ట్ ఫర్ దిస్ మంత్స్ పరివర్తన్ ప్రోగ్రామ్. వీ హ్యావ్ yet another interesting topic for this month, empowerment through austerity. I was inspired to come up with a topic like this because of a recent conversation which I had with one gentleman in UK. I was on a conference call and this gentleman, he asked me this question, that why you Hare Krishnas have such a difficult lifestyle. Or in other words, he was asking, why in your Vedic literatures, the regimen which is given to achieve godhood is so strict and rigid and austere. So in my answer I told him that you know, when I was a small child in school, once my PT teacher punished me, and the punishment was, go take 4 rounds of the school playground. And I felt that this was too austere a punishment for me, too difficult a punishment for me. But then when I grew up, and for keeping myself fit, I wanted to join the Indian Air Force as a fighter pilot. So I wanted to keep myself fit. I started going to gym. And there, I was working out, running on a treadmill. And I was thinking, in my childhood, when my PT teacher had asked me to do the same thing, go take 4 rounds of the playground, it was much more healthier because of clean air, open playground. And here, inside this gym, it's not as healthier as what I had done. But that I considered as a punishment, that I considered as an austerity, and for this I am paying over there. So what made the difference? The activity was the same. What was the activity? Running. So in my answer I was telling him that austerity is an austerity when the object of your austerity is not properly defined. So when I was punished, the object of my austerity was little misdefined. But then when I was working out in a gym, paying for that, the object of my austerity was, I want to become healthier, fit to enter into the defense forces. So that was no more considered an austerity. So now again, this question still lingers. How can we get empowered? Or there is another word, empowered or empowdered. Does this austerity, especially in spiritual life, in as a human being, does that make any sense? Recently, I was listening to a lecture. Very famous personality, Mr. Vijay Mallya. All of you know, the king of kingfishers, Mr. Vijay Mallya. So he was making an interesting point. I would just call it interesting. He was making an interesting point in his lecture. He was speaking on a particular theme of how one should be very active and not passive in one's life. Or in other words, he was saying how one should not be affected by lethargy. The opposite of being active is being passive or being lethargic, being lazy. So he was saying that you cannot make anything happen while lying on the bed unless you are a prostitute. Only she makes money over there. That was quite strong. So the point which he was trying to drive home was that get up, do something. When we do something, there will be some amount of discomfort. There will be some amount of inconvenience, just like all of you have come for this program. One of the greatest austerity. Yeah, in Kali Yuga, to come in a temple nowadays, and that too Saturday night, that too when the climate is, something just very cozy to enjoy something else. And you made a choice to come, that too Hare Krishna temple, that too a topic like this. If the topic would have been how to enjoy this human form of life to the fullest extent, enjoyment and all that kind of stuff which is going all around, might be more appealing. Austerity, and that too some kind of empowerment, some kind of ability which I am going to achieve out of those austerities, sounds a little unappealing. So first of all, I'd like to thank all of you for being so austere, and especially when a speaker is like this, you have to go through motions of austerities, not just one austerity of coming over here, but then motions. But don't worry, the empowerment will be, there'll be nice dinner feast for all of you after that. That will be a good incentive. So let's begin with the creative principle which is mentioned in our Vedic literatures. The Srimad Bhagavatam talks about tapasya. Here is the secondary creator of our planet or universe rather, Lord Brahma. So when Lord Brahma, when he was created, and that was the dawn of creation, it is mentioned, the first word which Lord Brahma heard from the Supreme Personality of Godhead was tapa. These two syllables, tapa, which means penance or austerity, tapasya. That's it. Now here is the chief architect, engineer of this universe. And he has to get empowered to do what? To not just to build something tiny or something minuscule, but he has to create this entire creation, which we don't have to discuss how big is this. And he was empowered to create this entire creation by this one word which he applied in his life called tapa or austerity. And for thousands and millions of years, he performed austerity, that tapasya. And then Lord Brahma got that empowerment to create this entire creation. So, the creative principle, beginning with that. I was looking into the literal meaning, or rather the etymological meaning of this word, austerity. Because it's not a commonly used word nowadays, especially in Kali Yuga. Sense enjoyment, bliss, pleasure, these are all common words. You know, joy, enjoy, entertainment, party, austerity, opposite of party. So at the very outset, before we go into the depths of today's topic, let's first understand the four meanings which the dictionary defines. Austerity, what does it mean? The first meaning which is given is renunciation. The second is sacrifice. The third is discipline. And the fourth is discomfort. So, austerity involves these four components. Or if you ask, what is austerity made up of? Austerity is made up of these four ingredients: renunciation, sacrifice, discipline, and there is discomfort. Now, some of the meanings, it sounds little negative to us. Like what? Renunciation. Immediately. If someone asks you, so, do you want to practice renunciation? Immediately, you know, your mind shouts from within, shut him up. Or do you want some discomfort in your life? Who wants discomfort? All the advertisements are just propagating how to make your life easy and comfortable. That's what is the propaganda. Discipline, sacrifice. Yeah, you know, it's nice to hear in a lecture. Good. And, you know, nice to see in others. But when it comes to one's own self, then there is a big question mark. Wait a minute. Am I ready right now? Is it supposed to be for me? So, of course, when we try to understand it positively, with a positive attitude, and even if we don't try to understand, but if we just look into our own lives and our lifestyle, and so many lifestyles all around us, we will see that practically these things are happening, whether you want it or whether you don't want it. Whether you want to live a comfortable life, there is renunciation taking place, there is sacrifice taking place, there is discipline, there is discomfort taking place. You cannot avoid that. So better we accept it voluntarily and get the credit of being on the brighter side of life rather than being forced upon things upon us. So, let's begin with, so what we'll do first is, we'll go into each of the meanings of the word austerity. We'll first go into renunciation, sacrifice, discipline, discomfort. So let's begin with renunciation. So if I ask this question, is renunciation attractive? Is it looking very attractive? Would you want this gentleman to be on in your living room, you know, on the wall? Is renunciation attractive? What do you say? Okay, our August assembly. Is it attractive or not? Okay, no. Definitely, over here we see that doesn't sound to be like a very, very appealing photograph or lifestyle. But what is the definition of attraction now, or the attractive principle? What is our definition of the attractive principle of this world? Looks good, appealing, make you feel good, looks good, appealing, charming. One of my brahmachari friends, he was traveling and he was traveling abroad. So he was going to some of these communist countries where he couldn't go like this, you know, as a renunciant. So he had to put on some suit, tie, you know, as a professional businessman. And his experience, he was sharing that in other countries, whenever he would go, even if it was US or UK, when he would go like this, you know, saffron clad, shaven head, as a renunciant, practically the whole airport would be looking at him. But when he went as suit and tie, koi dekh hi nahi raha tha, kyunki sabhi ghoom rahe usi ke andar. Okay. What do you say now? Has he attracted a few people, thousands of people, or lakhs or millions? And what kind of lifestyle is he living? Renunciation. So what is his attractive principle? He is not like any other layman walking on the street. You know, if like tomorrow is Nirjal, most of our devotees would be doing Nirjal Ekadashi. Okay, some of us decide, so I want to go to the newspaper, you know, media, and say that tomorrow I am doing Uposhan. So what? I am doing Nirjal. I am doing. Acha, karona. You don't want to publicize that? So it's not simply this gentleman's fasting or anything else. But the attractive principle is that this person has that renunciation feature in him. Now, when we talk about renunciation, you see, in this material world, we keep renouncing at different stages of our life so many things, people, situations. Like as small children, we were holding on to our toys and our playthings, and then we renounced as we grew up. Then we took what? Some bigger playthings. It's the only thing difference. And then as we keep growing and maturing, the level of our renunciation also is expected to grow, is it not? If I say, somebody is asking that, you know, what have you sacrificed or, you know, renounced for your parents? Steam engine, toy steam engine, I renounced. I was mad after a toy steam engine. I am no more now. I am renounced that. Wow. Will I be complimented or commended for that? Appreciated so much? No. So as I grow, the level of my renunciation becomes attractive. And therefore, we in our own lives, when we keep renouncing from smaller things to bigger things, that is one of our features of advancement, is it not? Renounce the school to enter the college. Renounce the college to get a job. And then renounce the job also at the right time. and that is also very much glorified. So, we don't want to go into the details, but just the principle of renunciation has to be understood. You see, people are not so attracted to renunciation, but they are attracted to the fruit of renunciation. This is a very important point to be noted. You see, like for example, a big corporate CEO of a company is seen very cool and peaceful in his stressful office life. Now that is the fruit. What is the fruit? As in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna mentions that Tyaga Shantim Bhavantaram. That when there is Tyaga, the fruit of that Tyaga is Shanti. Like there was a friend and he told to the other friend that he was a bachelor. So he said, I am fed up with cooking my own food and cleaning my own clothes. I want to get married. And the other one said, for the same reason I want to get divorced. Cooking my own food and cleaning the clothes. Making the laundry. So herein, what one is attracted to? One is attracted to the fruit of that renunciation. There is nothing attractive in itself as far as the renunciation is concerned, but the fruit of that renunciation is very much attractive. So a student renounces home, goes to the college, stays in the hostel, renounces all the pleasures and delights and, you know, parties and movies and sits with the books and studies. So, what is attractive? What is attracting in that renunciation for the student? The degree, the education, the name and the fame, and the employment and the money, and then all the parties after that, all the movies after that, all the enjoyments after that. That is the attractive principle. So, therefore, the renunciation over here has also attracted in connection with the result of the renunciation. Now, let's go further. The second meaning of austerity, sacrifice. So, if this is asked, renunciation, is it attractive? Now, the next question is sacrifice of any value? If I'm sacrificing something in my life, or people who have sacrificed so many things in their lives, was it worth it? Was it valuable? Let's take the example of Jesus Christ, who could be a better classic example than Jesus Christ. What kind of sacrifice this was? Sacrificing his own very life. For whom? For those people, his own people who crucified him, nailed him alive on the cross. But then, after this sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the hearts of millions and millions of people changed. And therefore, it is said that the life of Jesus was that his crucifixion on the cross, or that cross of Jesus Christ, straightened up people's lives. You know the sign of cross? So the cross straightened up people's lives. Wherein when the people's lives were very much crossed and crooked, but their lives got straightened up because of the sacrifice of this gentleman on the cross. So definitely we cannot deny the fact that a person like him who sacrificed his very life, it was not worth it. It was. So much so that even now when people are coming in contact with this gentleman crucified on the cross, they are getting their lives transformed. And therefore, yes. And this was an act of austerity. You cannot say that this was not an act of austerity. Looking into the meaning, the second meaning of austerity. Let's take discipline. Is discipline logical? Now, we find Seems amazing the way these people are lined up in a parade or guard of honor. But then, when we look into our lives and talk about discipline, you see, discipline is a principle, again, which we have to understand from the overall perspective. It is not just, you know, a discipline which is imposed upon us, but again, it is a question of discipline which smoothens our life and makes our life more easy to live. Like a simple example, the traffic signal. It disciplines your driving. But because of the traffic signal, you become relieved that the other car won't bump into you because there is a red signal for the other street or the other lane. So yes, it is regulating and it might be restricting your driving, but it's actually relieving you of the fear. Just like, say for example, the game of cricket. In the game of cricket, is there a discipline, or any game for that matter, is there a discipline which they follow? There's so much of discipline they follow. You know, a little step on the line, no ball. A little ball on this particular side, it's wide ball. Now, imagine the World Cup is going on and, you know, India is batting against whatever, Pakistan. And the Indian batsman decides that, you know, clean bold ho gaya. Nahi manta. Nahi hoga. Jaunga hi nahi. Mera rule, abhi se. Bold matlab out nahi. And the person who is bowling, after six balls, he says, I want to continue. Achha lag raha hai mere ko. I want to continue bowling. So you can't just have a game played with pleasure with all the indiscipline followed in that. When there is proper discipline, even when kids play, you know, in between two buildings on a street when they play, even they have discipline over there. Directly khidki ko laga out. They have made some discipline, but follow karne ka pehle hi bata diya. We all have gone through all that. So, ek tap out. Now, nowhere in the you know, cricket books you will find rule book, ek tappa is out and all that stuff. But, you know, when the discipline is followed, then people, they love. They have, you know, some kind of enthusiasm and, something is happening worthwhile. So, yes, discipline, which is another meaning of austerity, has a logic behind it. What about discomfort? Okay. Now, this our little, not little gentleman, but little big gentleman. This picture, when it was taken, was he posing for it? You know, like people go to studio and photographer bol raha, chalo smile karo. Smile please. Huh? Is he smiling for that? Why such kind of an expression on his face? Because there is so much of discomfort. Is it not? Definitely there is so much of discomfort which is going on. But all of this discomfort he is undergoing voluntarily when the medal is around his neck. Then you see the actual smile. So the discomfort which he voluntarily has accepted is for the fruit of the pleasure. And we'll go into the details of how these four things of renunciation, sacrifice, you know, discomfort and discipline, how people, they actually are looking for the fruit of these four. So this is the irony The funny irony of this world. The poor is running around to fill his belly and the rich is running around to reduce his belly. Both are running around. एक भाग रहा है खाना कैसे अंदर डालूं और एक भाग रहा है जो अंदर इतना डाल दिया है उसको अभी कैसे निकालूं, है ना? लाइक देयर वाज अ न्यू सर्वेंट हु वाज एम्प्लॉयड इन अ हाउस. नया नौकर आया, बड़े घर में देखा, कुछ जितना सब तौर तरीके समझ रहा था. तो पहले ही दिन घर के दादाजी, बूढ़े दादाजी आए, बोले छोटू माला चमचा दिया संडासला जायचे. उसने चमचा निकाल के दिया. फिर दादी आई, छोटू चमचा दिया संडासला जायचे. उसने भी चमचा निकाल के दिया. वो सोचा ये क्या है माजरा, संडास में तो लोटा लेके जाते, चमचा लेके क्या जा रहा. फिर देखा जो भी आ रहा है छोटू चमचा जा संडास ला जाए. वो दिन भर चमचा निकाल निकाल के दे रहा है. फिर उसने पूछा एक बार पकड़ के, ये माजरा क्या, चमचा लेके क्यों जाते हैं लोग अंदर? बोला कड़ी खराब है, संडास की कड़ी खराब है. सो समटाइम्स यू मे नॉट नो a person is running around doing why, for what reason. So there are some people running around to fill the belly, some people running around to put food in the belly, and some people running around for the opposite. So this is the funny irony of this material world. Now this is an example. One of the themes of our talk tonight would be based on this. Srila Prabhupada saw a road repair sign. You know, there are so many road repair signs. Whenever roads are getting repaired, they have different kinds of signs which they put. So Srila Prabhupada saw this one very interesting road repair sign, and we will try to focus more on this particular sign. It said temporary inconvenience for permanent convenience. Huh? Sounds very simple and common. Yeah. Typical road repair sign. But what Srila Prabhupada, when he saw this road repair sign, he actually saw it from a different angle. That this material life, especially the human form of life, is based on this concept. What we are talking about of renunciation, sacrifice, discipline, and what is the fourth one? Discomfort, we are talking about inconvenience. But yes, everyone is focusing on what? The permanent. Of course, if one is totally crazy and unintelligent, then this sign would go reverse. How it would go? Temporary convenience for permanent inconvenience. This is the mentality of a sense gratifier. Abhi maja kar lo. Charvak Muni was this. Temporary convenience for permanent inconvenience. Aage kisne dekha hai? Abhi maja karo bas. Just enjoy now. So we will try to now go around this particular road repair sign in our discussion. And yes, austerity in our scriptures is also in some way or the other is mentioning about this. That yes, you are undergoing all of these austerities so that you will achieve the permanent convenience of serving Krishna in the spiritual world. Now, for a materialist, when he focuses on a regimen in his life or some kind of discipline in his life, it is this three-point program which he is having. Sense gratification for today. Heavenly life tomorrow whilst the sense gratification is happening. Liberation when I am fed up with both. So this is the three-point formula of a materialistic person. And therefore we see so much is happening and people are actually experiencing these three things also. But still we have to understand that the three-point program of the materialist is there, but the twofold result of this three-point program is hankering and lamentation at the end. Because it is only hovering within this material world which can never ultimately satisfy anyone. Because it is on the material plane. Srila Prabhupada gave the example of a mirage. A mirage is just an illusory concept of water. It can never satisfy your thirst. Or another example is given, you are thirsty and you are in your dream drinking jugs and jugs of water. So no matter how many jugs and gallons and buckets and drums of water you drink in your dream, your real thirst can never be quenched. So when we are talking about hankering and lamentation, Shochati Kangshati, Krishna mentions in the Bhagavad Gita, a Brahma Bhuta and Prasannatma, he is beyond na sochati na kangshati, Krishna says. He is beyond hankering and lamentation because he doesn't have the three point program for his subsistence in this material world. His program is beyond this material world. So now when we talk about this twofold result, I was reminded of one childhood story. Plight of a crow. Now, a very common sight, especially in India, crow. So one time this crow, he wanted to commit suicide. Why? Koi dekhta hi nahi. Dekhta hai toh khali patthar uthata hai. Udane ke liye, bhagane ke liye. Kya aisa jeevan mera? Koi photo mera khichta nahi. So the crow wanted to commit suicide. And specially, once the crow saw a swan. And after seeing a swan, the crow and kya bolte hain? Inferiority complex. Got that inferiority complex. So he said, let me speak to this swan before I commit suicide. So he went, spoke to the swan. And the swan said, actually, I was also thinking the other day to commit suicide. Hey, you also? Why you? And the swan said, I was looking at the parrot the other day. And the parrot has two colors in his entire body. You know, the beak is red and the entire body is green. I have only one color, all white. Said, whitewash mara kisi. So the crow was thinking ki mere ko black color mara hai, isliye main pareshan hu. The swan is thinking I am totally white, therefore the swan also wanted to commit suicide. Why? Because the swan saw the parrot having two colors. And that was the attractive feature for the swan. So then they decided, before we both commit suicide, let's go and ask this parrot now. They went and asked the parrot. And the parrot said, even I am same boat like you. Acha? Who is the upper example for you? And the parrot said, the peacock. Multicolored. So many colors. And it is only this bird who has a maximum different variety of colors in just one species as a bird. And they all decided, let's go to the peacock. And they went to the peacock. And then they revealed their heart to the peacock. And the peacock said, yes, everyone just looks at me. And everyone takes so many pictures and adores me, admires me. But at the end of all that, what is my plight? I land up there. In a zoo. I land up in a zoo in a cage. And then they all asked the peacock that what is your hankering and what is your lamentation? So the peacock said, my lamentation is because I am multicolored, therefore I am always inside the cage. And in this zoo, I have never seen in a cage a crow. So my hankering finally, if I become a crow in my next life, I'll be free to fly. In fact, when I was searching for the images, you know, in Google, I couldn't find a single image of crow in a cage. Who keeps? Dekha hai ghar mein, parrot rakhte hain, chidiya rakhte hain, kawwa rakha hai kisi. So now, let's look into our lives. Like I remember, when I was in school, mostly India mein aisa hi hota hai. Fourth, fifth standard, you know, your uniform has half pant. So I was hankering, kab main 8th standard mein jaunga, full pant pehen ke. Hankering, full pant pehenne ke liye hankering. Then when 8th standard, full pant pehen ke ekdam, this was the time, you know, June, you know, when you have your new uniform stitched and your semester begins, your school reopens. So now I'm in 8th standard, full pant, bada ho gaya. And then I saw, my God, my brother goes to college without uniform. This is better than me. Same story. Crow, swan, like that. So I was hankering when that day will be mine, when I will pass out of this, you know, silly school, silly uniforms, and I'll go to college and my own, you know, fashion show I'll have every day. So then, go to college. And then when you go to college over there, then you see that you are in a college which is like, say, degree college, like, you know, BCom, BSc, no uniform. But then you see medical college, they have uniforms. Yeah, this is higher now. Again, back to uniform. Engineering college, they have some uniform. This college is higher than my college. Then from there you pass out, you get into some MNC, you become a CEO, and with all the troubles and pressures and tension of that corporate lifestyle, when you are walking on the street and you look at half pant clad children walking in school. Oh, mere ko meri jindagi yaad aa rahi, kitna acha tha, bas half pant pehna gaya. Same story. So we might, you know, be thinking that it doesn't repeat in other species. You know, it only happens maybe in the bird species like that. It's happening so much. Hankering, lamentation. So there is so much of this going on, and the basis is the three-point formula. Sense gratification now, heavenly life tomorrow, liberation, fed up and both. So now, when this question is asked, that okay, you are in spiritual life, what are you trying to do now? What is your program? Is it not that your program is also the same? Temporary inconvenience for permanent convenience? Yeah. But again, we are here in talking about, as I began my talk, object of the austerity. They are also doing austerity. And yes, we are also doing. So many times, especially when they look at us like this, so many questions. Why, you know, you have to shave your head? Why you have to dress like this only? Why you have to get up 4 o'clock in the morning? Why you have to follow these four principles? Why you have to chant 16 rounds? Why when you enter the temple, you have to, you know, lie down flat, bow down, and so many rules and regulations going on and on and on and on. So Srila Prabhupada wrote this article, who is crazy? So now, if you physically look into the lifestyle of a spiritualist with all these regulations and disciplines and renunciation and sacrifice and discomfort, which means austere life. And then let's look into the lifestyle of a materialist or a non-devotee, and then decide that when they do the same things in a polished manner, when they say that they are doing, then that is considered to be sanity, that is considered to be modernism, that is considered to be advancement, that is considered to be civilized, and this is considered to be barbaric, uncivilized, primitive, escapism, so many other adjectives are used. So, at this point of time, I would like to take you on a tour into today's misdirected, misleading, dangerous, horrific kind of austerities. Few adjectives I've used. But it won't be too many adjectives when you look into the kind of horrific lifestyles people live. But now, when the same people are seen from a different point of view, they are considered to be, you know, the real advanced society people nowadays. So, hold your breath, sit tight, fasten your seatbelt, as they say. We are going on a tour. Might be a little shaking things and shocking things, but just to make understand. So, let's begin with the shoes, the lotus feet. Okay. So now generally when we talk about shoes, what is the purpose of it? The purpose of shoes is to protect your feet. Okay? That's the first singular purpose. And then yes, of course, you know, so many other things are happening for beautification of the so-called lotus feet. So, I was trying to research into how much people, just for something ordinary or something, okay, if another reason we take, that we wear shoes to give comfort to the feet, to give comfort to the feet, that, you know, if you are going outside, it's very hot outside, the road is very hot, so the shoes, they will comfort you. And there will be thorns and pebbles and all this. They will not prick your feet. So you wear some footwear. That's it. As simple as that. Now just see. It's a pair of shoes. Now, if in case somebody gifts you, or in the morning when you get up from your bed, as you see, the first darshan. So, this is just the beginning now. So, this is pair of shoes. Now, just see, this is also. You will never find a rat or a fish wearing, you know, something or having a shoe made out of something like that. But we see that the human beings trying to imitate the animals so much. So, the question is, who is going to which Jew to watch whom then? So the animals, they might come to our cities and see, let's go to zoo, they will also say. This is another kind of shoe what people are wearing nowadays. And you know, these kind of shoes are, there was a competition of the craziest kind of footwears which people, they try to wear. And I'm going, you know, in descending order, that how they are, you know, experiencing, how they got the prize. So herein, this was considered to be better off than the others. Now this is also, by the way, now just you can figure out how the feet will go inside this. This is a pair of a shoe. Now we are talking about austerity, wearing this particular thing. Now this is not all. I don't know what he's trying to prove with this. Now this is too much. This is a unique kind of pair of shoes. I don't know whether you call it shoe or trouser or two-in-one. And the first prize was given to this. Now, you know, sometimes you see yogis doing austerities and tapasya and penance. But over here, what is this? This was given the first prize. Now, what do you call this? Keel ke upar. It's just a nail. But then, when it is done in a polished manner, then that is considered to be something very advanced. Is it comfortable now? Okay, this is not the end. The tour is still on. Now, what is this called? We call it mehndi, and the Westerners called it Indian tattoo. So, actually, they copied it from the Indian traditional mehndi, you know, concept which we have in India. What? This tattooing concept. So now, this is called Western mehndi now. So they call our mehndi as Indian tattoo, and we may call it their Western mehndi. So now this is the beginning. Okay, this is not all. Okay? Now if you know anything about tattooing, it is very, very painful. It is something permanent, and if you try to remove that, now mehndi is something which goes off on its own naturally. But when these things are done on the body, they are so painful when, you know, they have this kind of needle and machine, and it kind of the pigment pierces inside your skin. Can you imagine this person, how much austerity has gone to have this thing, and what does he want to prove? Okay. Now, what kind of a goal which this person wants to achieve? That even Yamaduta will come and take him as an employee in Yamaloka. Now this is something very amazing. He's a student who wanted to always sleep in the class. So came up with this idea. So can you imagine how much a person can go into, you know, these kind of revolutionary concepts in order to just get some comfort? Shaved off some part of the head just to get this thing done. Herein. Now these are all not, again I'm telling you, these are all permanent markings which people, they want to undergo. And not just that it is so painful, but it is so grotesque looking. But then people, they find the kind of pleasure in that. What is the pleasure? The pleasure of they seeking attention, getting the attention for whatever they are doing. Now this was considered to be something which was getting prizes now. Inside the tongue. It's an actual image. Inside the tongue. But the first prize was given to this. It looks like a diseased eye. But they consider this as beauty. So much of discomfort, so much of renunciation, so much of sacrifice going on. Question is, who is crazy now? Okay, let's go further. You know, you might not see so much of this in person. I get to see all of this in person, you know, abroad, live telecast over there. So now ear piercing. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, this example is given that a person who wants to achieve heavens, he performs austerities to achieve heavens. It's like a small girl who pierces her ears in the childhood so that when she grows up, she can beautify herself with the ornaments. This is the example given in the third canto of Karmakanda Vidhi, and the austerities performed to achieve heavens is like the small girl piercing her nose and ears to get beautified when she grows up. So again, the concept is temporary inconvenience for some permanent convenience. So now in the West, when it goes, then it takes on to a different level. So in case you don't have any pocket to keep your mobiles, or a mobile stand you want, you know, or you don't want, you know, to lift your mobile, वहीं से बात कर सकते हैं. So this is as far as that is concerned. Now again, it's not seen as something very uncommon or unusual or funny or grotesque in India. But then when it is done by someone, now over here, just a village woman, sounds like a common sight. But then over there, it begins with this. Now, how much discomfort this person has gone through? But for what? What is the reason for all this austere discomfort? My God, look at all this. So, when people are going through such kind of sacrifice, as they say, you know, just to seek some attention. Isne puri dukan khol li. You know, a display of every, you know, different kinds of earrings and nose rings as a kind of, you know, show. Just imagine this, it's gone inside the eye. Now, these people, just to get some name in the Guinness Book of World Records or some prizes, and this was the limit. चेन लगा दिया, अच्छा बात नहीं करेंगे ज्यादा, बात करना ज्यादा बंद कर दिया इसको. एंड द फर्स्ट प्राइज वॉज गिवन टू दिस. सो सॉरी फॉर सम ऑफ दीज वेरी स्ट्रांग इमेजेस, बट दीज स्ट्रांग इमेजेस आर जस्ट टू मेक अस अंडरस्टैंड व्हाट प्रभुपाद आस्क्ड दैट क्वेश्चन इन 1960s, हु इज क्रेजी. So now the question is, who is crazy? The world which we are living in and the kind of people, the things which they are doing, those things are advertised and considered to be something which is, you know, very phenomenally advanced, and this is the modern man. This is the Kali Yuga. Welcome to Kali Yuga. And the scientifically advanced world which they are giving us. Now, the ultimate advice which is given by our Vedic literatures in the fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, yes, tapasya is being discussed by none other than the Supreme Lord. Nayam deho deha bhajam narloke kashtan kaman arhate विडभुजाम्ये तपो दिव्यं पुत्रकायेन सत्वं शुद्धेत यस्माद् ब्रह्म सौख्यं तु अनंतम. सो हियरिन दिस ट्रांसलेशन इज वेरी वंडरफुल. इट इज कॉल्ड द अल्टीमेट एडवाइस फॉर अ ह्यूमन बीइंग एज रिगार्ड्स टू ऑस्टेरिटी. सो ऋषभदेव ही इज सेइंग, ही इज प्रीचिंग टू हिज 100 सन्स, माय डियर बॉयज, ऑल ऑफ द लिविंग एंटिटीज हु हैव एक्सेप्टेड मटीरियल बॉडीज इन दिस वर्ल्ड One who has been awarded this human form should not work hard day and night simply for sense gratification, which is available even for dogs and hogs too, that eat stool. One should engage in penance and austerity to attain the divine position of devotional service. By such activity, one's heart is purified, and when one attains this position, he attains eternal blissful life, which is transcendental to material happiness and which continues forever. This is, you know, the most eloquent, precise, concise and complete definition and the result of austerity. So herein, if somebody is asking that, yes, now I have achieved the human form of life, what one should do? So Rishabhdev, he is saying that you should not do something first and then should do something. So what one should not do? Don't simply work hard for sense gratification. Don't simply work hard for that sense gratification. Okay, then what I should do? Work hard. Eh? Work hard then for what? Work hard. Tapo divya. Working hard is called tapasya, and working hard for spiritual upliftment is called tapo divya. Ya divya tap. So do divya tap. But one will say, but that also involves kashta. Herein the word is used, kashta kaman. So even austerity in spiritual life involves so much of kashta. Getting up early in the morning, renouncing so many things and accepting so many things and so many do's and don'ts. So what that kashta will bring about is sattvam. Sattvam means it will bring about sattva gun in one's life. Shuddhyet means purification. And what is the purpose of this mode of goodness and purification? He says, Brahma saukhyam tu anantam. That Brahma sukh which you will get, which will be ananta, never ending sukha. That is the purpose of tapasya. That is the purpose of austerity herein, which he mentions. So let's take the example of Dhruva Maharaj. And his austerity is categorized as tapo divyam, because he was worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead through his austerity. And Dhruva Maharaj performed his austerity only for 6 months. And within 6 months, Dhruva Maharaj, he had the darshan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the empowerment which he had, we were discussing the other day, that he stepped on death personified to enter the Vaikuntha plane, the Vaikuntha Viman. What kind of empowerment is this? Just a 5-year-old boy. And as against this, we have Hiranyakashipu. His tapasya was even more austere than Dhruva Maharaj, and even more for a longer period, but it is considered to be Asuri tapa. Demoniac austerity. As we were seeing all those images, yes, that is also austerity. People are undergoing so much austerity. Killing their own bodies, deforming their own bodies. But for what? Like Hiranyakashipu. Something so much in the mode of ignorance. So Hiranyakashipu's austerity is considered to be Asuri Vibhuti or Asuri Tapa. And how can one determine that what is the Daivi Vibhuti and Asuri Vibhuti? The end result. The end result was, Dhruva Maharaj had the darshan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in a very, very pleasing manner, whereas Hiranyakashipu also had darshan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But like this. So Hiranyakashipu's darshan of the Supreme Lord was in a very, very horrific manner. So herein, just see the contrast. Hiranyakashipu performed austerity for 36,000 years. And he enjoyed only for 5 years. Until Prahlad was born, he became 5 years old, and then Lord Narsimhadev came and finished off, you know, whatever Hiranyakashipu had worked so hard for. And Dhruva Maharaj performed austerity only for 6 months. And then he ruled for 36,000 years. This is the contrast. The exact diametrical opposite we see. So therefore, when Rishabhdev is talking about Divya Tapa and the result of that Divya Tapa, we have such glorious examples. So in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna talks about three levels of austerity. Austerity of the body, austerity of speech, austerity of the mind. And progressively, austerity of the body is easier than austerity of speech. And austerity of speech is easier than austerity of the mind. So the highest level of austerity Krishna talks in the 17th chapter is that of mind, beginning with the body first. So austerity of the body, 17th chapter, 14th verse, Krishna says, Deva Dvija Guru Pragya Pujanam Shaucham Arjavam Brahmacharyam Ahimsacha Shariram Tapa Uchyate. Austerity of the body consists in worship of the Supreme Lord, the Brahmanas, the spiritual master and superiors like father and mother, and in cleanliness, simplicity, celibacy and non-violence. So it begins with what? It begins with worship of the Supreme Lord. So herein, Baldev Vidya Bhushan, one of our Gaudiya Acharyas, in his commentary he writes that herein Krishna is not just talking about cleanliness, simplicity or non-violence and arjavam and celibacy, brahmacharyam and all that. It has to be in and itself is glorious, but it begins with the Supreme Lord first. So when the Supreme Lord is made the object and all these other things, the austerity of the body is followed, then that austerity is called Divya Tapa. So now, when Prabhupada in ISKCON introduced the four regulative principles, so it is austerity of the body. You know, you have to eat a certain kind of food, you can't eat a certain kind of food. Okay. You have to have a certain kind of bodily lifestyle and you cannot have a certain kind of bodily lifestyle. So all of this, what is the object? The object, yes, it will make you healthy. There are so many atheistic people also who follow the four principles. But that is not called austerity of the body. Herein, therefore Krishna begins, Deva Dvija Guru Pujanam. That it has to begin with Pujanam of the Supreme Lord. And then everything done for the Supreme Lord. So the object is beyond the three modes. The object is beyond this material world. And therefore the tapasya also reaches one beyond this material world. So that is the empowerment which one gets. Then austerity of the speech. Krishna in the next verse explains. Anudvega karam vakyam satyam priya hitam chayat swadhyaya abhyasanam chaiva van mayam tapa uchyate. Austerity of speech consists in speaking words that are truthful, pleasing, beneficial and non-agitating to others, and also in regularly reciting Vedic literature. Now, these four components of speech coming together is very, very difficult. The speech has to be non-agitating. The speech has to be truthful. Sometimes truth is not so pleasing. Krishna said, no, it has to be pleasing also. And sometimes when things are very pleasing, they are not beneficial. So Krishna says, no, it has to be beneficial also. And yes, of course, if we go in this sequence, that truthful things are not so pleasing and pleasing things are not so beneficial. And many times beneficial things are very agitating. Ayurvedic kada. Very agitating. Beneficial things. So speech, why speech is considered to be on a higher level of austerity than the body? Because many times it is said that people, they keep talking so much because for them silence is more intolerable than speech. Silence is more intolerable. And therefore you will find, keep talking. Billboards here and there. Talk time this, talk time that, free talk time this. Keep talking, talking, talking. There was a nice quote which I read recently. It said, even a fish would have saved itself if it would have kept its mouth shut. Mu khola phasi. Hai na? Mu khola na uska. Wo machwara dalta hai na jab hook. So even a fish would have saved itself. So therefore, in Bhishma Parva, Mahabharata, Bhishma Pitama, he talks about these principles in Rajadharma, about speech. So, herein, anything in connection with the Vedic literature, it becomes what? It becomes truthful, it becomes beneficial, it becomes pleasing, it becomes non-agitating. All the four components comes when we only talk about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the Supreme Personality of Godhead has all of this. We may not realize right now. And therefore, in our scriptures it is mentioned that the first principle to offer to the Supreme Lord is Jivhadav. What is that? Jivhadav. From the tongue. Which means speaking the glories of the Supreme Lord, speaking those things which are connection with the absolute truth. And therefore in Kali Yuga, the Hare Krishna Mahamantra is the absolute truth and nothing is superior or greater than that. So this is austerity of the speech and austerity of the mind, Krishna explains. Manah prasada saumyatva maunam atma vinigraha bhava samshuddhir ityetat tapo manasam uchyate. Satisfaction, simplicity, gravity, self-control and purification of one's existence are the austerities of the mind. It begins with what? Satisfaction. And the three-point formula of the materialist was resulted in what? Hankering and lamentation. So the opposite of that, the real austerity, the highest level of austerity, especially in this age of Kali Yuga, is satisfaction. That too of the mind. And all the other kinds of bodily and speech austerities, you can achieve if the mind is controlled. So if a person has his mind controlled, and therefore the Maha Mantra or the mantra is to control the mind. Therefore chanting Hare Krishna is considered to be so austere because it's the most difficult to be controlled. And our body and speech is engulfed and totally controlled by the mind. Our senses, which includes the tongue, the beginning, it's totally controlled by that. So therefore, when Krishna talks about Manah Prasada, which is the highest level of austerity, especially for the human beings, which will take care of all the other aspects. And therefore, if we again come back to this road repair sign of temporary inconvenience for permanent convenience, and again now from that particular road repair sign, look into this verse of Maharaj Rishabdev. Nayam deho deha bhajam ra loke kashtan kaman arhate vid bhujam ye. That tapo divyam, he is saying that tapa, that inconvenience, but when it is done for the divya, in a divya manner, then what is the permanent convenience you get? Sattvam shuddhet and ananta brahma sukh, that which is unending. So this is, in the right sense, we understand that in this material world, when we undergo any kind of divya tapa, what is the empowerment which we get? So in conclusion, the four meanings of austerity which we understood, renunciation, sacrifice, discipline and discomfort. So we will see the four empowerments which we can get now through the four meanings of the austerity. Renunciation brings about purification. As Rishabdev said in that verse, that tapo divya or divya tap brings about shuddhet, purification. So who doesn't want purification? Everyone is looking for everything which is pure. Pure water, pure air, pure organic food. So purity is something which everyone is attracted to. So therefore renunciation is attractive. Why? Because renunciation brings about purity. And that is the attractive principle in renunciation. And sacrifice brings about selflessness. So when we talk about sacrifice, we are talking about sacrificing our false pride. So when our false pride is sacrificed, then automatically the flip side of that is being selfless. And that selflessness is something which is very valuable. Discipline brings about the art of balancing between the opposites in our life. What are the opposites? The opposites in this material world, as Krishna mentions, that there will be heat and cold, there will be, you know, man apman, insult and appreciation. So many things which are opposites which will happen in your life. But if you have a disciplined life living, then that disciplined regiment life will bring about a systematic, organized approach, a balanced approach for you. So that is the third empowerment. And discomfort in this material world will unsettle us, which means will take us out of our comfort zone. And what is our comfort zone? Our comfort zone is simply entrapping us within the cycle of birth and death. Therefore, it is said that when people talk about their comfort zone, they are actually talking about their own coffin boxes. And a coffin is very comfortable for a dead body. So discomfort over here is there to bring about alertness and active participation in the positive aspect of the austerity. Therefore, in the Vedic literatures, we find that there are sufficient passages, if we think that we are settled in this world properly, then there are sufficient passages in the Vedic literatures to unsettle us. And if we are already convinced that we want to unsettle, then there are sufficient passages in the Vedic literatures to settle us in the spiritual world. So, this principle of unsettling and settling, or temporary inconvenience and permanent convenience, is a principle which is followed in the material realm and also in the spiritual realm. But the spiritual realm, that principle, the object, is something which is very, very divine. So therefore, at the end, it is said one should become like a sugar cane. You crush it, you twist it, you beat it to pulp. But at the end, what the sugar cane does? It produces sweetness. As against this, you have a bamboo stick. Dalo rasvanti grah mein leke jaake wo motor ke andar. You put a bamboo stick inside that. How much ever you crush it, beat it to pulp, twist it, turn it, nothing will come out. So therefore, when a devotee performs austerity, so that austerity is performed to produce the sweetest of all emotions, and that is Krishna prema. And that is like the sugarcane's example of emitting out the sweetest of all juices. Because at this note, tomorrow we are beginning with Nirjala Ekadashi. So Nirjala Ekadashi and these kind of austere activities, it sounds like the sugar cane is going through all the crushing part now. But only at the end we find out that what is the end result of that? Something so healthy, something so sweet. So therefore, austerity is not wherein we lose something, but austerity, when done properly in right consciousness for the right person, then that austerity will bring about the greatest benefit. As we took the example of Dhruva Maharaj and so many other wonderful devotees of the Supreme Personality of God. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions anyone has? Yeah. Just a minute. Yeah.
Hare Krishna. In that control of mind, there was one thing you said was gravity. Can you please let me, I didn't get what was the meaning of that gravity.
See, gravity means that when you don't get affected by the dualities of this world. So when Krishna says that, what is that verse from the second chapter? Matra sparshastu kaunteya, shita ushna sukha dukkhada. Heat and cold, sukha dukkha, man apman, labhani, all these dualities. So generally a materialistic person who has his mind uncontrolled doesn't have that gravity to deal with the dualities.
He always wants the, it's like hot and cold, so he always wants the better part of it.
No. It's just like, for example, success. Yeah. So he becomes carried away by the success. Oh, yeah. I'm successful. Fine. And, you know, his chest swells in pride.
Yeah.
And when there is failure, again gets carried away. Now I want to commit suicide.
Yeah.
So that is called the pendulum effect. You know, this extreme, this extreme. But gravity of the mind is, Krishna says, Tam sthitikshasva bharata, rise beyond. Because these things will always remain the same, the dualities of this world. So that is what gravity means.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Someone had a question? No, life is not an illusion, but our seeing this material world in a wrong way, that is our illusion. The world is not an illusion. The example is given that if at night you are walking and by mistake you step on a long rope, okay, and you think that it is a snake, okay. A typical scene like that. You think it's a snake and you become very afraid. And then you find out that it was just a rope. So you say, well, it's an illusion to think now that rope has snake. But the reality is that why you thought that the rope was a snake, because the snake exists somewhere. There is reality of the snake. But now, you thinking rope as snake is an illusion. The rope is not an illusion. And the snake is not an illusion. But someone thinking the rope to be snake is an illusion. So that thought process is called illusory. So the life or the world is not illusory. Similarly, when we talk about human emotions, they are not illusory. You talk about anger, you talk about, you know, love, you talk about, you know, greed. All these human emotions, even, you know, when a person is very much affectionate to someone or attached to someone. So all these human emotions are there. Compassion, forgiveness. These emotions are real. But when they are misdirected, just like we saw those horrific images. So all these people, it's not that they are heartless. They have a very, very strong emotional side because of which they can go to such an extent to, you know, tamper their body. But it's the only thing, it's misdirected. It has to be properly channeled and directed. And those human emotions can be spiritualized. Any other questions? Any announcements?